Let me just give you a few statistics about your Bible. This is just some interesting Bible facts. Many of you know a lot of this information, but sometimes it's a good reminder. There are 39 books in your Old Testament, 27 in the New, for a total of 66 books. 929 chapters in the Old Testament, 260 in the New Testament, for a total of 1,189 chapters. There are 33,214 verses in the Old Testament, 7,959 verses in the New Testament, for a total of 41,173 verses. And this is important. It's kind of, we smile as we go on, but 593,493 words in the Old Testament, 181,253 words in the New Testament, for a total of 774,746 words. Jesus himself said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." How about this one? 2,728,100 letters in the Old Testament. 838,380 letters in the New Testament, for a total of 3,566,480 letters. The shortest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 117. Ezra chapter 7, verse 21, contains all the letters of the alphabet except J. Esther 8:9 is the longest verse in the Bible. John 11:35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. Pastor, what are you trying to say? This Bible is God's Word. And when I say Bible, please understand what I mean, English-speaking people. I mean King James Bible. I mean Old King James Bible. I don't mean New King James. I don't mean New International. I don't mean New American Standard. I mean old-fashioned King James Bible. And I believe that this book that I hold in my hand is the very Word of God from cover to cover. I don't believe it just contains the words of God. I believe it is the very Word of God. I believe in something called verbal plenary inspiration. Verbal means word by word. God breathed every word of the Bible. Plenary means fully. Amen. God breathed all of the Bible, and inspiration means God breathed. I believe God breathed every word that I can read it, and it is the very Word of God. God the Holy Spirit told men exactly what He wanted written. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if some theologian says, well, that's mechanical dictation. I don't care what a theologian says. The Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's the only possible way you could have a perfect book, is if God authored it. Listen, if man gets in it, there will be error. Why? Because men are sinners, men are fallible. But if God writes it, it can be perfect. And we have it in our hands, amen. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now listen, this isn't a message on liberal theology, but the liberals will tell you that Jesus was a good man and then deny that the Bible is the Word of God. Can I tell you that's a contradiction? You know what Jesus said about the Bible? He said this, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Jesus said, in essence, listen, everything that's written has to come to pass. Listen, if it's not the Word of God, it doesn't have to come to pass. But if God wrote it, God stands by His Word. Amen. When God says shall, He means shall. Can we say this? Jesus put His approval on the Word of God. Luke chapter 24, verse 27, he says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." Later on in that same chapter, he puts his approval on the Old Testament. He says in verse 44 of Luke 24, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Jesus covers the three major divisions of the Old Testament that a Jewish person would understand. The Law of Moses, the first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then he talks about the prophets and then the Psalms. So can we say it this way, folks? Either Jesus is a liar or this book is God's Word. I'll go with number two. Amen. This book is God's Word. Liberals don't like certain books of the Bible. By the way, we studied one of them this year. Jude. They don't like Jude. Amen, Brother Becker? Why wouldn't a liberal like Jude? Well, it talks about what they are, and that's apostate. Amen? They don't like 1 Peter. They don't like 2 Peter. Why don't they like 2 Peter? One preacher said there's three reasons why a liberal, an apostate, doesn't like 2 Peter, and that's chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Amen? When you think about this, when you think about this book that we have, it's the very Word of God and how it's attacked. It's attacked. It's attacked by, I think of Daniel, one of the most contended books in the Bible by the liberal theologians is Daniel. Can I tell you why? Daniel prophesied 2,500 years of history perfectly before it ever happened. And it bothers the liberals, amen? Because they say Daniel wasn't a prophet. Again, I'll just take what Jesus said, Matthew 24:15. He said, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, the prophet, Jesus called him a prophet, that's good enough for me, amen? He's a prophet, amen? I'm trying to say that this book is God's Word. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to know what we believe. We need to know why we believe it. And we need to know where to locate it in the Word of God. It's so important as you're dealing with people that you commit verses to memory. And listen, commit the address to memory too. Because you know what? There is so much more if you're ministering to someone to be able to open your Bible and show them. I've done it many times, Brother Sammons, where I'll put my Bible upside down because I memorized a verse years ago. And I said, see that right there? And they can hear it with their ears as I quote it to them and see it with their own eyes. How important it is. By the way, the devil knows that this is God's Word. And he hates it. He hates this book. He hates the fact that we're here tonight lifting up the Savior of this book. The devil knows the Bible is God's Word. His hatred of God's Word is not new. It goes all the way back to Eden. Go into Genesis chapter 3 and look at it. Look at it. Jesus said in Genesis chapter 2, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll surely die. That's what he said. And so the devil comes along and he's more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he comes in real subtle and speaks to Eve and says, did God say that you couldn't eat of all the trees of the garden? And of course she says, no. He said we could eat of all the trees except one. But he said, that one we're not to eat of it. Neither we're not supposed to touch it unless we die. And again, we know God said that you weren't supposed to eat of it. He didn't say not to touch it. I don't know. I'm supposing, let me get away from the pulpit, maybe Adam said that to his wife. Listen, we're not supposed to eat it, so don't even touch it. Amen? I don't know if that's what happened or not. But then the most blasphemous thing was said against God. And look at it in verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That is the first lie recorded in your King James Bible. You say the Bible contains lies? Yeah, God's tattling on the devil. Amen? God's telling us what the devil said. And what does it say there? It says, he said, ye shall not surely die. But we know that's not true. Because we've all been to a funeral. Men have been dying ever since. I have 5 points tonight about what the devil wants to try to do to your Bible or do regarding your Bible. The first thing he wants you to do, he wants to try to get you to doubt the Bible. He wants you to try to get you to doubt the Bible. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Again, what did God say there? Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And what is the punctuation mark, class? Question mark. God put a period when he said, thou shalt surely die. Satan came along and said, did God really say that? The first thing that Satan did when he tempted Eve was to try to get her to doubt what God said. I'm sure everyone here, including this pastor, has a time when the devil has done the same thing to you. I mean, can the Bible really be the Word of God? I mean, 66 books? 40 plus authors? 1,500 plus year and not one error? Not even one? Come on now. That can't be right, can it? Ladies and gentlemen, if we're not careful, we'll come across maybe a difficult passage. And Satan will get in there and he'll try to get us to doubt the Bible. To doubt the Word of God. That's why you need to be settled. This is the Word of God. This is the very Word of God. R.A. Torrey, great preacher in the early 1900s, followed D.L. Moody, said this, there was a time in my life that I was not sure that the Bible was the Word of God. But after many hours of study, prayer, and research, I came out of the darkness of skepticism and into the broad daylight of certainty that the Bible is the Word of God from cover to cover. And can I say this? There have been times in my life when I doubted that the Bible was the Word of God. Early in my Christian life, can I say this? I am rock solid now from Genesis to Revelation, or as the old black preacher said, from Genesis to Revolutions. Amen. I believe the whole thing is the Word of God. By the way, without the Word of God, there's no Jesus Christ. Amen. Without the Word of God, there's no atoning death on the cross. Without the Word of God, there's no hope of resurrection. Without the Word of God, there is no eternal life. So of course, the devil's first trick is going to be to get you to try to doubt the Bible. Can I say this about that? If you doubt the Bible, it was not God that encouraged the doubt. God's not the author of confusion, and all God's people said. Listen, he certainly wants you to believe in this Word. It's the devil that gets you to doubt. And I can guarantee you this, if you doubt that this is the Word of God, there'll be two things that immediately begin to crumble in your life. Bible reading and prayer. Why? Well, I don't know if this is the Word of God or not. I mean, why should I spend hours reading it? And prayer. Well, listen, if I don't know if this is the Word of God, could I pray to the God of this Bible and will He answer? Doubt. Doubt affects us, amen? And so the first thing that the devil wants to do is he wants to get us to doubt our Bible. Secondly, what the devil wants to do is the devil not only wants to get you to doubt your Bible, he wants to destroy your Bible. Genesis 3:4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Satan knows that if he can destroy the Bible, he can destroy the very foundations of the Christian faith. We preached on it a couple weeks ago. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Why is it that these churches are capitulating and going to worldly entertainment and a worldly type of living and a worldly quote-unquote Christianity? I'll tell you what's happened. Their foundations are being destroyed. They're getting away from this old book that preaches against sin and commands us to repent, amen. They're getting away from this book. They're getting a softer version. They're getting an ear-tickling version. And Satan is in the business of destroying the Bible. Can I say this? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Jesus said that, amen. You know, there, over the years, so many people have tried to destroy the Bible. The Roman emperors tried to stamp it out. And the more they did, the more it grew. It was Voltaire, that famous French atheist, who said he was going to devote his life to getting rid of the Word of God. And after he died, the home that he was in became a Bible printing place. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Bob Ingersoll that used to stand and rail against the discrepancies of the Bible, he didn't destroy the Word. Darwin's evolution hasn't destroyed the Word. Amen. Stalin, I think of Stalin coming to power in Russia and literally purging millions of Christians. It didn't destroy the Bible. Mao Zedong and his communist China utopia that tried to stamp out every Bible. Listen to this. The Church Council of Tarragona, 1229, Pope Gregory, so you know where it comes from. No one may possess the books of the Old and New Testaments in the Romance language, that is English. And if anyone possesses them, he must turn them over to a local bishop within 8 days after the promulgation of this decree so that they may be burned. Listen, beware of any church that doesn't want you to have a copy of God's Word. Amen, amen, and amen. The devil wants to destroy the Bible. He wants to doubt the Bible. He wants to, number three, discourage the reading of your Bible. He wants to discourage you from reading it. I grew up in the Church of Rome. So what I'm speaking, I know is fact. We were discouraged from reading the Word of God. That's it. It wasn't for us. It was for the priests. How about that? Is that discouraging of the reading of the Word of God? You can come to me anytime and I will tell you, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Why? Because you've got the Holy Spirit if you're saved. But see, Satan wants to get you to discourage the reading of your Bible. And I remember the saying in the Church of Rome will be, well, look what happened to Martin Luther. I mean, Martin Luther started reading the Bible and he went absolutely crazy. Yeah, he did. He came to the conclusion from the Scriptures that the just shall live by faith. And that justification was by faith. Listen, Satan wants to get you to discourage the reading of your Bible. Did I want to read the Bible? Well, of course, when I wasn't saved, I didn't. And they would say things like, you can't understand it. Only a certain class of people can understand the Word of God. That's why you need us. By the way, beware of anybody that says, only we know what the Bible really says. You can't know it. Fooey on that. I'm glad for Tyndale that came along and started printing the Bible in the Romance language. And he just felt that anybody could understand the Bible if the sweet Holy Spirit lived inside of them. This Bible I have, and obviously he certainly went away from where we were, was printed by a preacher that we all know named Jerry Falwell. And it was Jerry Falwell's mission in the early 70s, back when he was just as straight as an arrow, fundamentally like we were, to get a copy of the Word of God in every home in America. Because he knew that this book contains the solutions for all our problems. Amen. But Satan wants to discourage the reading of it. He works hard at that, discouraging us from reading the Bible. See, because he knows if we read the Bible, that something like papal infallibility, the fact that there are some people that believe the Pope is infallible, will come to a crashing halt, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He knows if we read this Bible that when some people will tell you, you know, you have to take up seven sacraments to go to heaven. Romans 5:1 will say, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That puts stuff like that to an end. Virgin worship, this idea of worshiping Mary as a co-mediatrix. Well, 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one God. And one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You think about, why would he want to discourage the reading of it? Well, we've been taught when I was young that you were justified by your works. You had to live right to go to heaven. But Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it certainly would be a good strategy of Satan to discourage the reading of the Bible. To try to get you to doubt the Bible. To try to destroy the Bible. Can I say number four? He tries to desecrate the Bible, doesn't he? They'll put people up on TV And not our brother Jim Jones, but of course many of you remember Jim Jones. And what do they say when they show the old pictures and the old videos of Jim Jones? They show him with his Bible, don't they? And Brother Becker, they'll say, Jim Jones, Bible preacher, caused 700 people to commit suicide by drinking poison Kool-Aid. They'll show somebody like David Koresh, who claimed to be Jesus Christ, which in the Bible it says, for many shall come in my name, which are false Christs. Amen. And they'll show him and they'll say, David Koresh, religious man, Bible preacher. They'll show a man like Charles Manson, who had a glorified vision of the Beatles along with Revelation chapter 9, and say, see what the Bible did. And you know what the devil does is the devil uses media to desecrate the Bible. How many times could I remember just after I got saved and watching a movie and how they portrayed somebody that believed like we did as a kook or a nut? Never in a positive light. Always in a negative light. Why? Because the devil is trying to desecrate the Bible. I think of a modern group that is just stirred so much animosity and anger, and they're hyper-Calvinist. They're called Westboro Baptist Church. And they protest military funerals with signs that says, God hates fags. And they're called Westboro Baptist Church. I had somebody ask me one time, are you a Baptist like them? I said, they are nothing like me. Well, what's the devil doing? He's desecrating this book. He knows he can't do anything about it. He knows what is in this book is going to come to pass. But he's going to do all he can to basically, if we could say this, spiritually spit on the Bible. He tries to desecrate it. People laugh at the Bible. They'll say about people, like, well, the Bible drove them crazy. All that religion's not good for you. People laugh and sneer if you carry your Bible. Listen, that's a work of Satan. Try to get you to doubt the Bible. Try to destroy it. Try to discourage the reading of it. Try to desecrate it in our day more than anything else. He's trying to dilute the Bible. I remember when I got saved. And I went, and it was strictly, purely Uncle Joe, by the grace of God, I went into a Walden Books. Our pastor, Brother Tharp, said, you need to get a Bible. And I'm so thankful we have a bookstore here. Amen. If you need somebody with a Bible, you can just send them right to the bookstore. Amen. We've got the right kind. But I remember going into that Walden Books and seeing this whole section, Brother Heath, of Bibles. And they had every version you could think of. And I was just sitting there looking like a calf looking at a new gate. I didn't know which one to get, which one not to get. I looked and saw one and said, Thomas Nelson, King James Bible, and I pulled it off there. And I believe, literally, you look back at these things and I believe God will show me one day that there was an angel moving me, amen, get me to the right one, amen. But listen, in our day, Satan is trying to dilute the Bible. Comes out with a so-called version, seems like every year, a new version coming out. NIV, ASV. Now we've got the TNIV. The NIV wasn't good enough. We've got the TNIV, the new NIV. ASV, NASB, NKJV, Living Bible, which is dead. NWT, NLT, MICKEY, MOUSE. Listen, I've had people say to me, well, there's so many versions of the Bible. How do you know? Listen, what is that? It's a work of Satan. He's doing a deluding work. He's doing a deluding work. These new translations are just that. They're not the Bible. They're translations. They're not the Bible. We've got the Bible. Amen? The Bible doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. Amen. Psalm 12:7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. in my opinion, the cardinal doctrine right now that's being bashed by the devil is the preservation of God's Word. You see, Brother Ouellette, he did it so quickly. He came through here and did a wonderful job. If you're able to be part of that, more sure word. But he said these people that use all these other versions, they don't believe the verses that very clearly teach preservation. Listen, what good is it for God to inspire His Word and then not preserve it? What good is that? It's no good at all. It's not there. Amen. It's honestly, it's like the virgin birth without the resurrection. What good would it be if the Savior was virgin born if He didn't rise again for our justification? It would have been incomplete. The Word of God would have been incomplete if God didn't preserve it. Listen, this is why, honestly, I don't take some of you theologians will know as a Ruckmanite position. I don't believe that the translators of the King James Bible were just as inspired as Peter and Paul. I don't believe that at all. I believe God had the power to preserve them to write down the right words. Just like He had Peter and Paul write down the right words originally, God was able to preserve it all the way along. Thank God for that. He promised to preserve it. Does anybody have the original Textus Receptus or Masoretic Textus? No, they don't exist. They never existed all at one place. They were copied along. Copied by faithful men of God. Faithful ladies of God that were able to just take the words and copy it and then pass it along to another church. Ladies and gentlemen, what we have here is a copy of 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 God's Word. And it comes with His stamp of preservation. God promised to preserve His Word. But man, and particularly under the influence of Satan, is trying to dilute the Word of God. I say a few things about this old King James Bible. It's translated from the originals letter by godly men of old. By the way, I'll take a letter by letter translation over a thought by thought translation any day. You know what? Simple fact is there's times I read this, Brother Lowell, and I'm not sure exactly what God's thoughts are, but I can tell you exactly what the letters are. I can tell you exactly what the words are, amen. This old King James Bible, translated from the originals by godly men of old, survived intense persecution and ridicule, sparked revival on two continents, this old King James Bible. Modern versions leave out well over 20,000 words. That's a lot of words, folks. Especially when God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. One short is no good. If it's short a word, it's no good. This is it. Perfect. 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 Translated by liberals who didn't even believe some of the cardinal doctrines of Christianity. I think of Westcott and Hort. Didn't even believe the virgin birth. Didn't even believe that. Boy, if anything, I want somebody who's translating my Bible to believe in the cardinal doctrines of the book. Is that too much to ask? I don't think it is. Copyrighted to make money. You know, your King James Bible has no copyright because it's the Word of God. Where are you going to send the checks? Heaven? Amen? Where are you going to send those profit checks? Oh, now, if you have a study Bible, some of the notes may be copyrighted, sure. But you just get an old-fashioned text of the King James Bible. There's no copyright on that. Anybody can print it. By the way, for me, the choice is very easy. I settled on this old King James Bible a long time ago. He tries to put it on a level with other literature, such as Muhammad and Buddha, Confucius and Socrates. And folks will come along and they'll say, well, they had good things to say. Their writings are just as good, aren't they? No. Now, let me just give you three quick things about the Bible. Three reasons why the Bible is superior to any other book. The Bible contains only truth. Only truth. This book, cover to cover, contains only truth. All other books contain some error. All other books. Number two, The Bible contains all truth. We mentioned it, said it several times. Everything you need to know about life and godliness contained in this book. How to live your life. How to raise your kids. Amen. How to conduct yourself financially. All in this book. Right here. The Bible contains only truth. The Bible contains all truth. The Bible contains more truth than all the books of the world put together. Why? Because God Himself wrote it. It's the Word of God. Do you love your Bible? I'll tell you, I get so convicted of that, Brother Horsch. I just know I don't love my Bible like I should. No, I don't. This Bible I have right here, it's precious to me. It was given to me by a preacher brother, a black preacher friend of mine named Dave Williams. Godly man, worked at General Motors for 30 years and retired and was a head deacon in his church and did a lot of preaching, did a lot of Sunday school teaching. I remember we were there on our first book trip to Grand Rapids, and again, boy, I was like a kid in a toy store. There was one place called Kriegel's. It's no longer there. It's been bought sold to a company in the Far East. But the Kriegel's had 250,000 used books, Mrs. Merrill, all Christian used books. And I walked in there and went, wow. And then I looked at my wallet and went, eesh. And I was looking at this old Bible, and Brother Dave Williams came over with that just this unique voice. He said, Brother Rich, let me buy that Bible for you. And I said, no, Dave, I've got money. I can do it. He said, no, I want to be a blessing to you. And he bought it for me, and I've used it for years. And every time I see somebody saved and I use it, I think of him, and I think rewards on their way north. Amen. Every time I use it, every time I study out of it. But I know this. I don't love it like I should. Amen. Could we say amen to that? We know it's the Word of God, but we don't really love it like we should. Every Christian should read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Every Christian should read that. I know we have a couple copies in our bookstore. There's a story of a man named Timothy, a deacon, godly deacon in an early church. And back then there were very few Bibles, like we read of the Council of Tarragona. And they used to have to take the Bible and hide it so that the church at Rome wouldn't come and confiscate it and burn it. And the Bible was Timothy's responsibility, and he would take it and hide it. And they came, the authorities found out that Timothy was the one who had the Bible, and they said, Timothy will have that Bible. And he said, no, I won't tell you where it is. And they said, oh, you will tell us where it is. We'll torture you within an inch of your life, and then we'll torture you again. He said, I'll not tell you where it is. Well, they did torture him. Hung him up by his feet for hours till all the blood rushed to his head. Put out his eyes so he could never read the Word of God again. And they said, Timothy will have that Bible. And he said, I will not tell you where it is. His wife actually came in and pled with him as he was hanging there, sightless, almost ready to die. He said, Timothy, just tell him where the Bible is. And he chided her for her lack of faith. He said, oh no, I will not tell you where the Bible is. It's safe from you. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this. In America, probably, we'll not have to endure persecution like that. But if we had to, would you be like Timothy? Would you say, you can't have my Bible? You can't have it. I won't tell you where it is. I don't care what you do to me. It's God's Word. It needs to go out to others. You know, our heritage is from godly men like Timothy. Amen? Godly men that stood. You read that beautiful book by J.M. Carroll, The Trail of Blood. Read how you got your King James Bible. How many millions of Christians died so you could have a Bible. But then we put it down on Sunday night. We don't pick it up again until Wednesday night. Then we don't pick it up again until Sunday to bring to church. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this book is not an ornament of Christian attire, like a tie, or a suit, or a pair of shoes. It's the very Word of God. Let's treat it that way. Let's read it like we really believe it's the only book God ever wrote. Father, we thank You for Your love for us.